crashing markets, recession forecasts and a U-turn to end all U-turns. It's been another chaotic week for the world's economy, triggered by decisions made in Washington by the US President Donald Trump. On Wednesday, he announced a pause on tariffs for most countries with a 10% flat rate to apply instead. China was hit with a 145% tariff, but phones and computers have now been exempted. It retaliated with a 125% levy on US goods. The European Union's trade representative, Maroš Šefčovič, visits Washington today for talks aimed at reaching a deal on tariffs. But the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen threatened levies on US tech companies if those talks fail. So where does all of this leave Ireland and what does it mean for our economy? Well, we're joined in our studio now by the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers. Good afternoon and thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Justin. Thank you.
Let's start with your assessment of where things stand right now. 10% tariffs instead of 25%. That's a good thing. A full-scale trade war between the US and China, that is not a good thing. So how could all of this impact on the Irish economy?
Well, we're still in a very damaging sphere of disruption, uncertainty, and all of the predictability of the last number of decades when it's come to international trade is still very much undermined by the announcement of recent weeks. And despite the pause being a welcome space to allow for negotiations, there's still all downside risks for the Irish economy and indeed the European economy. When you take Ireland's position in the context of international trade, we've built the last number of decades of growth and prosperity and the back of international trade. Any eventual outcome which undermines the current trading relationship represents downside risk. And that's why the fact that we're coming at this from a position of strength shows that we need to take further actions as an Irish economy and control what's within our own sphere to strengthen our own competitiveness. But we have a lot to play out here. We've seen, obviously, various decision points from the US administration, but there's still huge uncertainty notwithstanding the 90-day pause.
And we'll talk about some of the actions that the government plans to take in a moment. But the EU's trade representative, Maroš Šefčovič, is in Washington today for talks, which will begin tomorrow, on a possible future trade deal. What is Ireland hoping will emerge from that?
Well, we want to have as low of tariffs or as possible. And that's what is the backbone of the Irish economy, representing a competitive export-led growth and ensuring that we preserve the trading relationship and the interdependencies we have between the EU and the US, and indeed Ireland's unique position in the context of international trade and being a focal point for a lot of US foreign direct investment and how it exports into the European Union. So preserving the backbone of trade which has been built over decades is what's central to the broader discussions.
Are you expecting that there will still be tariffs at the end of all this process?
Well, look, it's impossible for anyone to predict the outcome of this. But I think if there's sensible, productive discussions that are objective on the basis of what's grown between the European Union and the US, we know that prosperity has been built on the back of tariffs being lowered between economies. And that's been the broader global picture now for decades. And you've seen the market reaction, the downside risks, the ordinary costs that will be imposed on citizens if tariffs are crystallised. So we want to preserve, obviously, the extent of the interdependencies that exist between Ireland and the US and our ability to trade in within the European Union as well. And that's what the broader discussion is happening. I think, to be fair to the European Commission, that's what they reflected, very much sensible, mature approach in the context of the US discussion. And I think the pause demonstrates the real impact that the tariffs would have had on the US economy if they were continued with.
Is it your expectation that pharmaceuticals will form part of the negotiations in Washington?
Well, we know that pharmaceuticals were excluded from the initial list, but there was obviously articulation from the US president on further measures being taken for around pharmaceuticals. We want to preserve the...
So are they to be brought in now to the wider discussions on a possible trade deal? Is that your expectation, or are you still anticipating that there will be a separate tariff announcement on pharmaceuticals coming?
The factual position is we know the pause was announced and we know prior to that announcement, there was reference from the US administration on further announcements relating to pharmaceuticals. We don't yet know what the public position from the US administration is on that. But I think the fact that they were excluded from the initial list demonstrates the sensitivity and probably the understanding around pharmaceuticals when it comes to the interdependencies and the fact that you might have components that are created here and are then finalized or sold on when they're completed in the US.
Is it your hope that they would be brought into the broader negotiations and therefore also then be subject to that 90-day pause?
Well, I think to give, obviously, and I know the Taoiseach is meeting with representatives from the pharmaceutical industry this week. Our hope is that they are excluded and that the current position is maintained, and that will benefit all citizens both within the European Union and indeed within the US. But there is uncertainty about that particular question because we haven't got clarity from the US administration on that. But I think the fact that we have space to negotiate and a 90-day pause allows for all of these issues to be worked through and hopefully to get an agreed outcome which preserves the huge growth and prosperity which has been built on the back of international trade over the last number of decades.
The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, she signalled in the Financial Times on Friday that the EU could impose new taxes on US tech companies if there isn't to be a deal on tariffs. Do you think she was right to put that on the table?
Well, look, we've been absolutely clear about this from an Irish perspective. We did not support it in the past and we do not support it now. It would be hugely damaging to the Irish economy, to foreign direct investment and to future growth and investment from an Irish perspective. I think we have to be careful what we place on the table. What I think has been the measured and considered response from the European Commission thus far has been trying to move this into a sphere of a negotiation and to get an agreed outcome. She referenced this being a measure if there wasn't an agreed outcome. But I think all the energy and the focus from the European Commission, I believe, is from Commissioner Shefcovic about getting an agreed outcome.
But are we seeing mixed signals from the government on this? Because on the one hand, you had Pascal Donoghue telling Bloomberg that Ursula von der Leyen was right to put the threat of digital taxes on the table. And then, I mean, you're saying you've got to be careful what's put on the table, and the Taoiseach says that Ireland would resist that if it was proposed. Well, so how can you be in favour of threatening something and at the same time...
You'd have heard Minister Donoghue over the weekend...
Not following through.
You'd have heard him over the weekend as well referencing the serious harm that a digital services tax would cause to Ireland. And Minister Donoghue, in the previous government, was involved in trying to move this into the sphere of a global multilateral approach with the OECD taxation reform, which the European Union has implemented. And if this escalates to a point of digital services tax being discussed, we're at a point of enormous damage for the Irish economy, for the European economy, much of which would be more severe than any of the downside risks which have been outlined. And that's why I think the broader EU discussions in the last number of weeks have demonstrated a unified and collective approach where countries have been able to collaborate on what the agreed countermeasures might be. And we've actually moved back from that point of a cliff edge where we now have a negotiation that could commence with the US. And I think that's the constructive approach which needs to continue over the next period.
All right. Can I talk to you about the domestic response? I know that the Enterprise Minister, Peter Burke, is bringing a competitiveness plan to Cabinet in the coming week to help businesses. The Sunday Times reports today that the auto enrolment pension scheme, which was due to start in September, that will be pushed back until next year now. Is that your expectation?
So the timing of auto enrolment is under active consideration by government, and Minister Cleary will bring forward an update to government in the coming weeks on that, on the specific timing. We are absolutely committed to...
Can I clarify that? Are you saying now that the September deadline for that may be moved?
It's likely to be pushed beyond September, but it's likely to still occur in the short number of months after September. So the direct commencement date is under active consideration by Minister Cleary, and he'll bring forward an update to government on that. What I would say is auto-enrolment is going to be absolutely essential to build sustainability for pensions in the long term, and the exact nature of the commencement is what Minister Cleary is currently considering.
Okay, but it's likely to be
deferred for a very short period.
And it has been deferred several times already. So what? Why another deferral?
I think that there's a couple of issues. First of all, that this is an enormous scale of administrative work which is required to bring a huge amount of people within that framework quickly, and I suppose it's just to sequence the timing aligned with other government decisions. And Minister Cleary will give an overall update to that to government in the next number of weeks. But we are absolutely committed to auto-enrolment. There has to be sustainability with our pension system, and we have to provide for pensions. And I think this has been a really important reform in the last 2 years, and I expect the commencement date to be adjusted only very marginally in the context.
Okay.
This isn't something that's going to be deferred for a longer period. It's something that may be deferred for a short number of months.
Is the government considering pausing or stopping the planned increases to the minimum wage, as was suggested in the Daily Mail yesterday?
So Minister Burke is with the government. We're considering, I suppose, the overall cumulative impact on costs for businesses and the competitiveness within the Irish economy. The number one focus for government is to protect jobs, to drive competitiveness, and that's why separately we'll be establishing a cost of business advisory forum to how to sustainably manage the overall costs for business. Within that, the government is considering how we sequence the overall timing of the implementation for the minimum wage. And that's something that'll be brought forward to government shortly.
What does that mean? Delaying any increases in the minimum wage? Isn't that the bottom line?
No, it means that the work of the Low Pay Commission will continue. But it means the nature and scale of the increases will may be extended over a slightly longer period. But there would still, I expect, be increases, but it would be managed in a more sustainable way that reflects the need within the Irish economy to preserve jobs, to ensure we manage the overall cost base. And that's why, if you look at over the last number of years, we've seen the increases in the minimum wage go up by about 56% over the last decade. And that's why we want to ensure that we continue to protect low pay workers, and that's why the work of the Low Pay Commission is really important, but also ensure that we protect the jobs that they're in and ensure that the cost base for business is sustainable. And that's the overall work within the when it comes from the action plan and competitiveness which is being developed.
You're talking about sustaining the cost base for businesses and helping businesses to be competitive. It's on the backs of workers, isn't it? They're paying for it. With these measures, they're not going to get their wage increases, and their auto-enrolment pension scheme is going to be delayed.
No, well, we're absolutely committed to auto-enrolment. And as I've said to you a couple of minutes ago, auto-enrolment will be commenced. There might be a marginal adjustment to the exact month that it commences, and that's what's under consideration. And we're still committed to the work of the Low Pay Commission. And in the programme for government, we reference the work of the Low Pay Commission and balancing that against the viability for small and medium businesses. So what will be brought forward to government is, I suppose, the overall assessment around that. And as I said, Minister Burke will be able to update people on how that's going to be sequenced over the next period.
You announced a review of the National Development Plan this week. You're going to use the Apple money, the AIB share sales money, and the Climate and Nature Fund to prioritise projects in housing, energy, water and transport. That will be completed, that review of the NDP will be completed in July. What happens then?
So just to take a step back, we know that there's a serious issue in the Irish economy when it comes to the delivery of infrastructure quickly. I'm hearing that right across the board. That's why we're reviewing the National Development Plan with new levels of ambition. So we support the investment in energy, water, transport and housing, as you've referenced. But beside that, we're going to have an evidence-based assessment of a lot of the barriers, the blockages, the constraints which are impeding infrastructure delivery. And for too long, there's been too many blockages in the way to deliver for the greater good when it comes to the public interest and the social and economic objective, which is delivering this infrastructure. So sitting beside a new national development plan with a new increased ambition, we will have a series of reforms which will address some of the regulatory barriers in the Irish economy, which are impeding growth and are constraining development and undermining economic growth. And that's why central to our future competitiveness is trying to cut through some of the issues which have been referenced now ad nauseum, and that government needs to make decisions on. And that's what I'm determined to do a new infrastructure division. And we're seconding expertise in from the different delivery agencies and outside expertise to ensure that we drive forward with the core social and economic objective, which is addressing the infrastructure deficit across the Irish economy.
And that infrastructure division, that's going to sit in your department.
Correct, yep.
You'll be bringing experts in from outside to work in it. When will that be established?
So it's being established presently. We've engaged with all of the delivery agencies. We'll be seconding expertise in from ESB, Irish Water, Airgrid, and other delivery agencies. Separately, I'm establishing an accelerated infrastructure task force, which will have external experts with experience in the Irish economy who are there to actually hold the government and indeed the broader system to account on actually driving this forward, because we've had too much constraints and barriers which are holding back the Irish economy and holding back infrastructure delivery. And in many ways, too often, the private interest for narrow sectoral groups is trumping the public interest. And that's why we need to examine overall regulation in the Irish economy as well, where we need to have balanced regulation when it comes to infrastructure delivery. And what I'm seeking to do is ensure that this external expertise actually reviews and assesses the processes, the systems which may have existed for many years. We've provided additional staff in some of these areas, but the delivery is still too slow in too many areas. And that's why it's of central importance. We'll be delivering across those objectives.
And you're bringing a proposal on that to Cabinet this week. Do you accept that your own department has been responsible for holding up some infrastructure? For example, the building of homes. There were reports that approved housing bodies can't get the funding they need to build thousands of homes because of difficulties in getting the money released from finance and from your department.
I think, to be fair, the issue here in infrastructure delivery and housing too often gets discussed in the context of additional money or allocations. And of course, in the National Development Plan that we're reviewing, we will be providing additional allocations to prioritise housing and infrastructure delivery. But sitting beside that, we need to change the broader focus to fundamental reform of delivery systems and actually synchronise different agencies to deliver across the objectives. Because a debate on funding allocations sometimes misses the point when something takes too long, the procedures are too elongated, and actually the costs increase over that period. So beside, that's of as much importance to me is reform and changing delivery systems as it is the additional allocations to key areas. And of course, all elements of the of government, including my own department, all need to be aligned to fulfilling these social and economic objectives, which is infrastructure delivery.
All right. Is it your expectation that once the review of the National Development Plan is complete in the summer, that Uisce Éireann and Airgrid will be given the additional funds that they need to allow them to upgrade the water and electricity network so that the homes that people so desperately need can be built?
We absolutely. So that's why we've said we'll strategically prioritise energy, water, housing and transport infrastructure in particular. And that's to ensure that we provide much greater capital funding and funding certainty to delivery agencies who are there to enable the increased supply of homes
and
across local communities.
How soon will it be then before the big projects that are needed to improve water and electricity, before they can start?
We'll announce the allocations in July, and then we'll work. We'll be centralising a lot of the expertise from some of these delivery agencies that you've mentioned, and we'll all be working together to give much greater funding certainty and try and truncate the timeline to commence many of these projects. Many of them have taken too long, as you've referenced. And if you look at the Draghi report, for example, which was conducted at a European level, the critique that it had of Ireland's elongated timelines when it comes to delivery of energy infrastructure, for example. So fundamental to the the review of the National Development Plan, sitting beside it, will be the reforms and removing the constraints and barriers which will help Irish Water, EirGrid and other delivery agencies actually advance and accelerate these key projects, which are first of all, very important for housing and fulfilling that social objective, but also ensuring we strengthen prospects for economic growth in the future.
All right. Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, thank you very much for speaking with us today. We're back with more after this break.